This is the Nightly News Show. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Rags on the Disclosure Media Network.
All right. Well, guess what? It's the Disclosure Media Network. Happy hump day and good evening to those of you listening in to all our live streams from YouTube, Ustream, TuneIn, and of course, all of you that download our podcasts on iTunes, Podomatic, and now on SoundCloud and Spreaker. And again, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. And folks, we have one fantastic guest with us tonight. Disclosure Media Network welcomes Stan Deo, author, lecturer, researcher, and of course you've heard many of his interviews from Coast to Coast, Hagman & Hagman, Alex Jones, and years ago I used to love listening to this man on the old Q-Files with Steve Quayle. Stan has held above top secret security clearance as he's worked undercover for the FBI. He was part of an exclusive black project headed by Dr. Edward Teller, specializing in the development of flying saucer technology. Stan covers such topics as the coming global economic collapse, solar-related crises, the UFO deception, destruction of America by civil war, and cheaper energy. You can find out more about Stan by going to the website standeo.com. Now it's time for us to bring in the man who started this little network on a dime and a shoestring, our fantastic host tonight, Jay the Man.
Oh, well, thank you there, Rex, for that awesome intro. It's been a while since you've done one of those, and hey, it still sounds great. Hey, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. We have a great guest on tonight, Stan Deo. Stan, how you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good for an old guy, I guess. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, good. You know, we've got a lot of things perking up here on the news wires. You know, one of the things that we're covering on disclosuremedia.net is, you know, the rumors of war between the U.S. and Russia. And the one guy, a professor, Stephen Cohen, came out and said it's a real possibility. Even it's worse than what it was back, you know, in the Cold War days. What's your opinion on that? Do you think we're that much closer to World War III with Russia possible?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. The situation in the Middle East requires that Russia neutralize the United States politically and physically so that the United States will not, you know, like overthrow our president or, you know, have some kind of a military threat to Russia when they go in to honor their treaties, their defense treaties with several of the Arab nations around Israel, because Israel is going to have to make a preemptive attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. When and how, don't know, but it's going to be in the next just few weeks, months. They've got to move fairly quickly. They might get through the summer without doing it, but I doubt it. And so Russia needs to be sure that America cannot strike Russia for helping, you know, the Arab nations that it has defense treaties with. I can't believe that we're sitting here on the edge of what is a modern Balkan powder keg that started World War One, but we're there, and I'm sure you know that.
Well, Russia doesn't seem to be backing down either, because, you know, they just recently threatened Denmark with a nuclear, you know, basically just said, hey, if you're going to join NATO's SHIELD program, you're basically a fair game for our nuclear strike. And there was also a story that came out, Stan, I don't know if you saw it, but could this World War III, could it really be about Arctic oil? We had a story on Disclosure Media that where, you know, basically this is really about oil. You know, they've got thousands of Russian troops in the Arctic. So what's your take? Do you think maybe that could play in it, or does that not even matter?
Well, I suppose it could. There are so many variables in the equation for what's going on the planet that you darn near need a supercomputer watching everything and feeding it into some program that you've got that tells you, this is what we want to do. Hard to say.
It is definitely hard to say. Now, you said, you know, you were talking about Israel bombing Iran. What's your take on the elections and how that turnout was?
Well, it's lucky that Netanyahu actually won in spite of the pro White House groups that claimed that there was no White House, you know, power behind them or money behind them,
right,
in spite of their attempts to have Netanyahu lose the election. Because of this, now then I think Netanyahu, he's putting together his coalition. It's a very fragile coalition of minor parties so that he can, you know, have a government. And the party that was closest to winning, you know, against him said that, you know, we're not going to join you in the new government. So they're going to be fighting. So it means that any time that Netanyahu decides to make a decision, he's got to run through his little playbook there and see, well, now, does this member of my coalition agree with that? Will he go with this? Will that other one go with that? And it's going to be a nightmare to rule there, especially in a time of war. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, folks, I'm having some mic issues here. I've got that hum back, Rags, so I'm trying to get that little hum out. If you hear a hum, just bear with me while I try and get that sorted out.
My sound seems to be...
You sound great.
Oh.
At least on my end, you do.
Yeah, on my end, he sounds fine.
The audio is superb for you, and Rags, you sound great. I don't know if you hear the hum. I hear it in my headphones, so I know it's coming from my microphone, folks. So just...
Yeah, I don't hear the hum, but I was just trying to adjust my volumes over here with feedback. Well, not feedback, but anyway, it's done over here. I think I've stabilized mine.
Now,
anyway, there
was also the revelations that Israelis were spying on the Iran nuke talks and that they were feeding that information in back to the Republicans. Now, do you think that was just a stab to the back of Israeli?
No. Look, you know, Israel has got to try to keep America as an ally because, you know, Israel doesn't want to take on Russia, you know, by itself because it would get crunched. Well, they think they would anyway. But... I saw the article about that, and I thought, well, okay, that's fair enough. They know the Republicans will back them if Republicans can get, you know, enough power. And there may be, an impeachment, or there may be some method used to try to get rid of Obama in a time of crisis. I don't think there'll be enough time for them to do it to be of any benefit, but that might be what happens long term. And Netanyahu may have been playing to that by sharing information. You know, continuing to share as they have in the past, in spite of the White House. I can't believe this guy in the White House. I mean, he's doing everything humanly possible to sink America and Israel at the same time. But I guess we know why that is anyway. But, boy.
Hey, Stan, this is Rags here. I just wanted to – you do a lot of different with your books, you know, especially with End Times. Apocalypse, and I know when I used to listen to you on Steve Kwan, the Q Files days, and we get this sense with the world, you know, and I guess what I kind of don't understand, is I want to get your perspective on it. When we have, we know the world has got different religious sects, whether it's Christian, Muslim, Catholic, whatever you want to combine it into. There is some sense of a religious aspect to the majority of the people on this planet. Why is it here in America when we're a foundation with principles of God into our Constitution. We used to pledge allegiance to one flat nation under God. Why is it that we get the sense that Americans are just they read Revelations and they know they're going to fall away from the church, but they go ahead and do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
What can we attribute to why churches keep going about their business, or why Americans don't stand up and fight? And like the rest of these other countries, I mean, you've got the Germans in the street the other day protesting. I want to believe – what were they protesting, Jay? That was in the news we had over there. I can't remember what they're protesting. But I mean, just even in a a city like Germany. I think it was one of the austerity measures like for Greece is what I think they're protesting.
I think that's what they were protesting.
Yeah, they're voicing their opinions. Here in America, I feel like with all the stuff that's going on to our Constitution, to the moral values that were found in this country, that it's like nobody even stands up and says anything.
Well, you know, first of all, they probably don't feel that their voice has any power anymore because we've gone too far down the dark road. You asked why this is happening. Back in the starting in the early 50s, my father and I were watching the communist infiltration into various educational and religious colleges here. And the whole objective was to, over a period of a generation or so, to bend the minds of the students coming out of these either these religious colleges or these secular colleges, to bend the minds of the people so that they wanted their share of the trough. You know, they wanted handouts from the government, and they leaned them toward the socialist agenda on purpose, so that when people got used to the government trough handing them money for various stupid projects and stuff, research, you know, how an ant does, eats its food or chews its food or whatever. I mean, stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And so people realize real quick, you know, we can get free money from the government. And once they started taking that bite of the apple, they couldn't turn back easily. And we noticed that churches have a tax-free exempt status as long as they, you know, toe the line. And we see that a whole generation of pastors have been turned out from these socialist influences in the religious colleges, so that they're leading the people and saying, you don't need to do this, you know, you just go along and keep the status quo, everything's all right, don't worry about end times or raptures or World War III and stuff, it'll be okay. And I'm seeing a lot of the evangelical leaders turning their flocks toward joining with the Roman Catholic Church, you know, under the Pope's directive to form a new global religion so that all of us can worship God in our own way and get along one global religion. And even Shimon Peres, former Prime Minister of Israel, has met with the Pope and suggested the same thing. Hey, Pope, old buddy, let's make a world religion and we can stop all the problems if we hit the world's problems there by having this joint happy family in one religious organization. And that's what I see is happening. People are gone to sleep because their shepherds are bad.
Yeah, you know, we all get the 501c tax status, and you know, you understand that to a point, but I guess it's when everybody just sits back and lets what's happening to this country without really understanding what's happening in this country. Does that make sense? I mean, I kind of look at it, it's kind of, to me, it's obvious. And to others, it's just obvious what's going on without – you don't even need to put glasses on to see it anymore. I mean, it's so blatantly bad. I just sometimes wonder, you know, within the church, how people can still just keep just like nothing's going on about them. I just can't understand it.
I think their faith is in the wrong place, and they feel disempowered and are frightened about the economy to them personally and their household. So they don't want to rock the boat too much, because not only – do they feel their voice does not have any strength in American politics any longer? And that might be true. But they also realize that if they speak out, they could lose what they do have, you know, as far as income and assets, because the government can stomp them. So I think fear, and I think that's a big driver. They're saying, well, I'm going to put my head in the sand. And I mean, we've talked to some Christian folks that we know around the joint, and not all of them are this way, but some of them are saying, you know, well, oh, look, it'll be all right. Hey, listen, are you guys going to have come to the barbecue next weekend that we're having and stuff? They just – it's so bad that they don't want to look at it. You know, they turn their head the other way. And that's not the way to solve the problem. You know that, Jason.
Yeah, you're right. That's not the way to solve the problem. You know, we're at not rags, I'm sorry. But, Stan, I wanted to move around a little bit here and talk about some of the things going on in the earth as far as the increase in volcanoes that are currently going off right now. We just had a solar eclipse, and we've got the super moons that are, the four blood moons that are, I guess we got two left, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, two for the Shemitah, yeah.
Yes. So are we seeing an increase in volcanoes? Are we seeing an increase in earthquakes? And what can people even do? Is there anything we can really do for all that? I mean,
yeah, we are seeing an increase in significant volcanoes. Holly and I have been looking at that recently, and I'd say that the data we've gotten from government sources is that over the last 150, 160 years, there's been a 400% increase on a curve going up to where we are now, and it's not slowing down. In fact, there are even volcanoes down on Antarctica underneath the crack that appeared where that western shelf is broken off, that ice shelf. There's a string of volcanoes there that are active under the ice.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, and you know about Iceland. I mean, we've been watching that for a year and a half now, then, as it's been splitting up there. The earthquakes, they do attend volcanic events, and they also have their own pattern. All of these things, these earthquakes and volcanoes, occur officially now, then, when the Earth's rotation changes, you know, the speed at which it's spinning changes. And this can be minuscule amounts, you know, on the surface, you know, 0.001% or something like that. And you think, well, that won't do much. But it does put pressure on the tectonic plate borders, you know, around the continents in the various places on the surface of the Earth. And when it squeezes or stretches, it allows tensions that have been building up to release. Certainly there's a big pressure building up in the Juan de Fuca plate just off of Washington and Oregon coast. And we know. Say again?
I said yikes. I live up in the Northwest.
Well, there's enough seismic pressure building up there that a good shake will give you about 9 to a 9.5 Richter.
Wow.
And tidal waves after that. Believe me, you know, you're the last lot up in that area there of the whole Pacific Arc of Fire, the last stress zone that hasn't released in the last 55 to 56 years. It's been known for that long that it was building up. And the one over in Sumatra, of course, Sumatra, that released a few years back in 2009, I think it was, where we had the big tsunami and hundreds of thousands were killed and stuff. That was the only one of two areas on the Arc of Fire and around in through Indonesia that had not released. And when you saw what happened there, now transfer that over to what could happen to Washington, Oregon coast if that happens, and plus the tsunami that's going to go from there and hit Japan and part of Alaska and down into Hawaii and a number of other places over on the Chinese and Japanese coast. Now, that's a clear, real, and present danger that is officially known. What is probably not so widely known is that the tests that the government, FEMA and USGS have been doing in the New Madrid fault line along the Mississippi River around Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, in that area, those tests have not been cheap, and they have not been done just to show that they were doing something. They're going to be able to feed, you know, 14 million meals to survivors of a Richter 8-plus earthquake that they're expecting there, too, which could break bridges and hamper greatly commerce that depends on trucks and cars going across, you know, the Mississippi River Valley. So, yes, earthquakes, volcanoes are all related. But, what people aren't really aware of sometimes is that when the moon has its phases going around the Earth, the moon creates tides in the water, but it also creates tides in the land. And so, if there's a function inside the Earth that is causing the Earth to expand or contract, but in this case I think it's expand, the surface of the Earth is expanding. So when the trigger, which is the lunar phases, comes around, as the moon moves around, once it crosses over a fault zone that is ready to release, it's going to help, you know, like be the trigger to discharge it. And I'm not the only one talking this. I mean, there are a lot of other folks studying this that realize that there's a correlation between phases of the moon and earthquakes occurring in the major tectonic plate borders. I guess I've got on my soapbox, but it's going to be happening soon in a lot more numbers and more intensities than we have seen in the past for 150, 200 years.
Wow. You know, this is Rags Against Dan. Hey, you know, and following up with, you know, you were talking about the volcanoes, and then you were talking about the down there in the Antarctica and that shelf that broke off. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so me and Jade last night were talking about how – I don't know if you know who Vice is, the Vice News organization. They're on HBO. They were doing it. They just did their – they kicked off their season 3 special, and they were talking about that shelf, but they never talked about – you know, they want to talk about global warming or climate change. And so my question is – I know, exactly. So my question is to you is, you know, these things that they want to hamper on and these changes that are in these Arctic regions, why are they not showing – you know, volcanoes and stuff like this that are actually causing more of these breakdowns in the warmer water rather than it's the things that we're doing as human beings in the air. Not saying that we're not adding pollution, but I believe that, you know, there's this really big push for it. Everywhere you turn on the TV, the radio, it's always about climate change, global warming, something.
All right. Let me I'll answer that this way. I have a pet theory or hypothesis. The reason they've been doing this for, you know, a decade or more is that the powers that be, you know, the planners for global government and trying to force us all into this nice, happy dictatorship, what they're doing is they're trying to keep us from breaking out in open anarchy. Because if they were to say, this is beyond our control, climate is going through a cycle, the sun is driving it, and we're seeing some bad things on the horizon. We're going to see more earthquakes, more volcanoes. There's nothing we can do about it. Okay. Then the herd panics. But if they say, oh, look, you can do something about it. Don't worry. You know, be calm. What we'll do is we'll cut down, you know, carbon emissions and, you know, greenhouse gases and stuff. And that way you feel like you're doing something and you won't be worried about, you know, the end of life as you know it. And so I think it's a fear control tactic to keep order so that long enough that they can, you know, organize their underground facilities and wherever else they are to survive what's coming and then come back out and restart humanity. I think that's what they're doing.
Thanks for that. Jay?
Yeah, you know, you brought up the sun, Stan. And the sun this cycle has been – it's really been irregular, really, hasn't it?
Oh, of course. And you look at the sunspot cycle. It's the way we do it, you know, 11.8 years, you know, every 11.8 years on average, there's a bunch of sunspots and then they dwindle and you don't see many of them. So you think, well, okay, we're in a low sunspot cycle, cycle 24 we're in now, and therefore there's not much to worry about except for one thing. As you said, there are an inordinate number of flares and coronal mass ejections, big ones coming off of the sun in the last 6 months. I've been watching it. And boy, it's like, you know, entertaining TV to go on to Soho and get the movies of the last 24 hours or 48 hours every day and watch the flares blowing off of the sun. Of course, we've had a couple of minor grazes, but one of those is going to hit us when so many of them are happening. And this is telling us that there's something wrong with or something changing in the nuclear chemistry of the sun. Now, what I'm going to tell you next, there'll be a lot of people, you know, scientists or engineers who listen to this and say, oh, that's bull dust. But there is a growing number of physicists saying that the speed of light was 100 million times or more greater than it is now at the Big Bang. Now, why is this important to what we're talking about? Because when you apply that formula to the age of the universe and the age of our sun and our planet, they are a lot younger, you know, at least within 50,000 years from bang to now, maybe even less. And that means that we don't have 100 million years to watch the sun go into a red giant stage. Before it goes into red giant, it starts to expand. And we've been seeing little flutters of that in the diameter of the sun expanding and then cooling back and then expanding. And the biblical prophecies in the Revelation, they do tell you about things happening on the sun, a cloud enveloping it, the light of it diminishing, becoming kind of blood red because of the cloud surrounding it. Then it becomes very bright. One side of the planet gets cooked, you know, because something blowing off of the sun, light-wise, photon-wise. So if that time compression is real, and there are a number of physicists that are qualified in this that are saying this. In fact, I had a list of them up on my website here the other day, so you could read their papers. And they're saying that this means that we're seeing catastrophic events occurring much quicker than hundreds of millions of years. We're talking thousands, maybe even hundreds of years. So watch the sun. This cycle is very anomalous. There's no question about that. And we may be seeing the beginning of its red giant stage, which can take a while, and there's several stages it can go through. But the chemistry is changing. The Russians have told us since the late 50s that the sun has burned up over half of its hydrogen fuel supply. Therefore, it may be going to a new type of nuclear reaction inside the sun. And part of what they were saying started to occur in 1992 when two new ultraviolet frequencies, new spectral bandwidths, were detected coming out of the sun. They'd never seen them before. And I talked to Air Force officers over in Australia who were monitoring this. That's how I know that it occurred. And these UV frequencies weren't of the kind that would cause you cancer or anything, but they're just telling us that the nuclear reactions in the sun have changed. So if you look outside, you'll see that the UV B and C is much more now. The sun is brighter blue-white than it was 50 years ago.
Yes, it definitely is. Folks, we're speaking with Stan Deo. You can find out more about Stan by visiting his website. And don't forget to bookmark it, standeo.com. He's got a lot of great books there. Tons of information for preparedness, prophecies coming up. We're coming at the bottom of the hour, and we need to take a short break here, folks. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes after we these ads out of the way. So we'll be back here shortly, folks. Stand by.
The warning signs.
First, he made me feel special. He promised he'd look after me, provide for my future. He broke every promise he made.
Millions of Americans afflicted.
I was ready to leave, but he told me he'd change. So I gave him another chance. I was such a fool.
The consequences.
Things only got worse. He started making my decisions for me about my job, my kids' education, my money, my safety, my future. He took away my choices, but I kept going back to the same politicians.
The diagnosis? Battered voter syndrome.
I fell for the same old lies. They were just playing with my emotions, telling me what I wanted to hear. That's not right.
Stop the insanity of voting for the same old abusers. Declare your independence from the two-party system and join the New Hampshire Liberty Party today at nhliberty.info.
We are coming back. We are speaking with Stan Deo from standeo.com. Some have called him the real Indiana Jones. Also, folks, I want to mention you can find out a lot of information that we're discussing tonight. You can get graphics of some of what we're mentioning at standeo.com/podcast. He's got show images. They discuss a number of things there. Stan, in the second half of the show here, I wanted to focus on what they're doing to, I guess, some would say that they're covering up or trying to hide what's really going on as far as with the sun. And I'm speaking of weather modification and, of course, chemtrails. A lot of people have different opinions on why they're doing it. What is your reason and with all the chemtrails that they're doing? Is it because of what's going on with the sun?
In my opinion, the majority of them are, but let's not forget that not only the Germans, but the Americans have experimented on small sections of our population with aerosols, trying to see things like could they immunize a small population with a chemtrail that deposited some sort of chemical over them, and it would automatically immunize them. For a virus attack or some kind of a biowarfare weapon that's released in the States. And I'm sure there have been other more nefarious tests done. But the majority of what we see and have seen for, many, many years now are results of what Dr. Edward Teller patented. And that is a method of reflecting more light away from the planet in various wavelengths by dispersing very fine particulates of metal. There are various types of aluminum and I think barium, and but each metal cloud is dispersed to reflect a certain wavelength. The reason they're doing that is they're knowing the sun is getting hotter, and they needed to protect not only the crops but the people beneath it. Also, I think some of the chemtrailing is done over military facilities to hide from satellite view what is being done on a particular day.
Oh, that's interesting. I never really heard that one.
Well, yeah. Well, you either do it underground in the tunnel systems that have been put in place all over the United States, and I'm sure in Russia and Germany as well. And yeah, you either do it underground, or the things you have to do above ground, you hide. And for instance, I know where we live here in Colorado. We're just about 2 miles from the south border of the Army base here at the base, Fort Carson, at the base of NORAD here in Cheyenne Mountain. Now, in addition to what people see there at NORAD, that little hole in the side that they used to show in Stargate, there is another facility west of there in the same mountain range, but back probably 10, 15 miles. Now, we're reasonably certain of this because driving through some of those back roads over there, which are not really, serviceable, they're dirt roads, occasionally you will be met by men in uniform with, weapons and tell you to turn around and go back. And that's just your own government land, but it's not marked that way. And then in the summertime, when we get these puffy white clouds that form, and blow across Colorado here, occasionally I'll be looking over at that area behind Cheyenne Mountain there, about 15 miles back on the west side, and all of a sudden there will be a huge amount of cloud form right over that area and raise up and become a much bigger cloud, as though someone has just released a bunch of hot water through various small pipes into the forest there to cool the water off and let it become steam. And the only reason I can figure is that there's something, with their nuclear facility underneath there that they're supplying power to another base with, that they need to occasionally dump the heat out in the form of steam. Because you can watch the cloud form right over there. I mean, it's nowhere else in the area here. We can see 50 miles north and 50 miles south from where we are. It just doesn't happen anywhere except in that spot. So I think that certainly that is being done, and they would want to cover that up with satellite coverage, being interrupted by chemtrails. I'm sure there's other things that they don't want to show, like tactical maneuvers being done at the fort there, the way they move their tanks and heavy artillery around for various things. So there are other places, too, that are military and not even military, but warfare developing type facilities that they would want to occasionally do something. They don't want to be seen from orbit. Now, it's just a thought, because if you're using metal particulates, it would reflect a lot of sensors that might be in place in orbit around us.
Now, some people, Stan, have complained about getting sick after, seeing chemtrails pass over. Now, is there any correlation to that, or is that just something totally different? Because I would think it would take a little bit more time for the particles to fall to the ground to affect you. If you saw it, just fly over your house, it's unlikely that it's going to fall to your area, right?
Well,
immediately, anyway.
Not immediately, but they normally make these chemtrails further away, in the prevailing wind, up the prevailing wind, so that they will disperse and cover at a place, maybe a few hundred miles due east of there. Now, when you breathe in aluminum dust or some of the other exotic metals they've got, these things are so fine that they can get right into your bloodstream. You don't have to eat it from the soil or anything else.
Right.
So it is possible that it lowers your immunity to various other diseases, or your body treats it like an allergen and you get sniffles and get sick. Aluminum in our diet is not really a good thing. You don't want to eat on aluminum dishes or aluminum utensils or cook with aluminum pans. So when they put it in the air as part of these aerosol sprays, that's, you're going to see some people that won't deal well with it, and it just depends on their physiology. And I guess we have to say that, you know, that's collateral damage in trying to protect the entire planet, at least the United States, and what they're doing. But there are chemtrails being done in other countries, in the UK for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think most of your major world, you know, your big countries are probably doing weather modification at this point anyway.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. I also wonder what this does to HARP-type transmissions when you put metallic clouds overhead.
I was just going to ask that question of you, Stan. Yeah, I was kind of wondering.
Well, you know, the frequencies that these HARP facilities can produce will actually let you punch energy right up through the atmosphere normally into the ionosphere, and they heat that area right over the HARP facility. Now, I'm not positive, but I think knowing the technology that it would be possible if you had, say, three at least of these HARP stations placed strategically around the planet, and you could work them in concert, that you could cause heating in the atmosphere to be over, say, the leading edge of a hurricane facility that's forming, and move that hurricane away from or toward this heating so that you can actually steer it a bit. Now, when you put the aerosols, the metallic aerosols, in the path of this stuff, I don't know that works well. I mean, it would seem to me it would reflect part of the energy back down into our system, you know, on the surface rather than getting up into the ionosphere. This is not a new idea, by the way. Nikola Tesla proposed that we beam electric energy, electromagnetic radiation, up into the ionosphere from a number of HARP-type facilities that he proposed, so that it would turn on the light around the planet. There would be no night. It would turn the ionosphere into like a big neon shell around us.
Oh, wow.
And you would have no dark. So you could grow crops and do all kinds of other things that are stopped at night. Don't know how this would how the animals would react to that, nor us, without the dark. But anyway, yes, HARP facilities are definitely weather modification, and I suspect, I'm almost positive, that the new world leader coming will impress the people of this planet by being able to direct lightning strikes from outer space, it would appear, which is really ionospheric discharges, down to the Earth to a specific target at his command, and that'll be controlling a HARP facility to drop the lightning bolt down and impress people. And the Bible even says that the Antichrist will do this. He'll bring lightning down or fire down from the heavens to impress people. So,
Stan, is there a reason why they locate them where they are? We know of the big one in Alaska. Is there a reason why they locate that there, up there in that region, by chance, you know?
Well, look, I don't know. I mean, there are so many factors that could be at play there. You know, what is government land? What is away from populated areas? The other HARP facilities down closer to the equator in Indonesia area, I can't see that there would be a reason for it being at a particular latitude and longitude, but there may be.
Okay. I was just kind of curious about that. And if you think, and you really think that in the end, as in the Bible, that we do know the Antichrist is going to throw down to the earth, that seems like a real possibility, because, you know, there's so many different questions about HARP. You know, you get into the conspiracy theory of what it could have been involved in 9/11, taking down of aircraft, airplane crashes. Do you think HARP has that ability to at least make planes crash?
Well, if it can discharge lightning, I suppose it could. They'd have to track an aircraft moving and do that. By the way, I don't think that's what happened to the German aircraft.
There was a lot of speculation on that.
No, it wasn't CERN. It wasn't anything else. It was, a pilot.
We brought up that German air crash, and it was just came out earlier, or just this evening, that one of the pilots was locked out of the cockpit. Yeah, and it's said that it was heard on the cockpit recorder that he was banging on the door trying to get in, and the other pilot obviously was in there. So the question, what happened? Did this guy suicide? Or, I mean, it's just all these plane crashes that we've had have been odd. You know, they've you know, the one with the Malaysia that, you know, just
it disappeared.
It vanished. It disappeared. The one over Ukraine that supposedly got shot down by either the Ukrainians or the Russians. Who knows how what happened there? So we've had some plane crashes, and they've all been odd. Curious.
They have.
Not your typical plane crashes.
Yeah, now, the short answer to your question is yes, I think they could bring down an aircraft with these heaters working, you know, the HAARP heaters working on the ionosphere. It's interesting that the recently I decoded something in the Revelation about the name of the Antichrist, and it's very simple. It doesn't require any heavy math. Just read what's there, and it tells you that the number of this guy is 666, and it's the name of the man, you know, is determined by this number. And if you go to Revelation 13 to the end of the chapter and read that, you'll see that it points back to a man of wisdom whose number is 666, and that's his name. Okay, you go back in the Bible, there's only one guy with 666 associated with his name, and it's King Solomon. Now, King Solomon, when he dedicated the first temple, the Temple of Solomon, he dedicated it with after a long prayer and a sacrifice, and it says God sent down fire from the heavens to consume the sacrifice in the front of the men of Israel. Now, then you go to Daniel, the Antichrist of this time is going to bring down fire in the sight of men, not the men of Israel, but just man, you know, mankind, to impress them. We know that there's pressure to build a second Temple of Solomon on the Temple Mount now. I've seen it in the Turkish newspapers. They've said that they could allow the Jews to build a Temple of Solomon, which is a small temple, up on the northern side of the Temple Mount in the garden area there, so that the Jews could worship God in their way there and not get up onto the Dome of the Rock area, which is a raised plateau area. And so there is discussion of this already in the Arab Muslim nations about rebuilding the Temple of Solomon. And the Arab world thinks Solomon is a great prophet, and they look forward to a new Solomon rising up in this time to lead the world into, you know, peace. And so the name of the Antichrist will be a Solomon, Soleimani, Suleiman. And right now the leader of the Arab Confederation is forming under Iran is Qasim Soleimani, Solomon. So look for a guy named Solomon exercising military power against Israel, and there will be that consortium will be defeated by Israel, and it will be such a resounding defeat by Israel, probably with nukes or something, that the world will cry out for peace to stabilize these crazy Israelis, they will think. You know, everyone will think Israel started all this, you know, in defense of itself. But they'll want a peace treaty, and that's why we're told that the man of sin will be revealed as a prince who confirms the covenant of Israel with the many nations around it. And that's why, because Israel had been kicking them really hard and beating them, and the world will be afraid. And they don't want World War III to start, so they'll say, let's have a peace treaty. All these things are falling into place right before our eyes, and probably before the end of this year at the rate things are going.
Wow. You know, and that's a good – from a biblical perspective, and I think that's where I actually want to talk about CERN, because you mentioned CERN, but I want to stay with this real quick. You know, Stan, with from a biblical perspective, I'm not asking you to give a prediction. What I'm trying to get is if you can give a sense of – here's another thing I want a sense of. Where do you think that the let's call them the powers to be, those – whether it may be an Antichrist or the people that are in charge, where is it in the next progression within the next year do you think they're trying to take us? I mean, I know, as we said earlier in the program, there's so many things going on. Like you said, you needed a supercomputer just to keep up with them. But where is it this progression? Because to me, in my mind, man, the world's in a really seriously financial heap of trouble from everything you can see.
Yep.
So they my thing is, well, what they're going to need a blame game is what I'm thinking. They don't want us coming after them. It seems like they need to blame something. And I just don't know where this progression of where they want to take the world next. Do you have any sense of where that may go?
Sure. Well, you can see it in the news now. They want the world to blame Israel for the world's problems. And it's going to get worse when Israel has to do what it has to do to survive it's got to make a preemptive strike on the Iranian nuclear facilities. And doing so, it's going to have to defeat the Quds force under General Qasem Soleimani in the process. And it's going to scare the heck out of the powers that be. You know, they're pressing it that way. They've got to be able to control Israel so that it doesn't escalate the situation into a world war. And that's where we're headed. The next thing I see is Israel making preemptive strike, and then the Iranian-led forces with allies from, you know, Syria, from Iraq. Certainly Iraq thinks that Soleimani hung the moon, and from Lebanon, possibly from maybe Egypt, I'm not sure, Egypt or Jordan, but Jordan may come under control of Iran. That's what they're talking about at the moment. So all these will be active in the game, and I think before the end of the year we'll see this, and this is going to impact the world economy greatly. One of the things that's going to come out of this is that the world's going to know how much oil Israel has underneath it. Now, I've talked to the rabbis I studied with already, you know, years back, and they know. They've already done ground sensing, and they know that they've got an oil field underneath the Jezreel plain that is probably 5 miles deep to reach it. And the oil pool down there is bigger than all of the oil fields of the surrounding Arab nations put together. Now, the Arabs have already let them know, the OPEC group, that if you produce that oil from that deep well or that deep formation, we will consider that an act of war and will attack you because you'll be draining oil from our wells at a higher altitude. And so the Israelis said, yeah, we wouldn't be doing it because your wells are pressured, and it's the pressure on our oil field underneath Israel that is pushing the oil and gas up into your fields. And you're actually using our oil now. And so this is where they said. And so when Israel finally defeats the surrounding neighbors, which is coming rapidly, then it will be able to announce to the world how much oil and gas it really has underneath there, and it will be a major exporter of oil to the world then. It's going to be a very strong position, and that's another factor is going to demand a peace treaty with Israel and the surrounding nations so the world can have power, you know, to consume. Boy, there's so many things falling into place now. I can't believe my eyes.
And obviously, so how do you go with that, correlate with that? I got to keep it clean. Our president. And our president, and obviously with you know, when Bibi was over here, he's so standoffish. I mean, everybody thinks that this. I mean, if there's not a time whenever he wants to bring out the conspiracy that our president believes in a different religion, he sure made it evident when Netanyahu was down here for that visit.
He did.
You know, he really made it very clear, and just wasn't I've never seen a president act that way toward a national figure.
No,
or should say a prominent national figure.
It's too obvious, you know.
It is.
It's too obvious. They're doing this on purpose so that Israel will be forced to do what it's doing and you know, what it's going to have to do against Iran. They want to force the issue so they have this potential conflict that they can then quell and bring their man to power on a global government. Now, watch for two beasts they speak of in the Revelation. The first beast is the Antichrist with the, you know, the military knowledge. And already even Newsweek has put on the front cover General Qasem Soleimani as a military genius. And Iraqis, who are not Iranian, but Iraqis are singing his praises because he's defeating ISIS in Iraq for them. And so he's the first beast. Or he could be the first beast, a Solomon, okay? The second beast is going to be a financial wizard that sets up the 666, you know, the mark of the beast and the world economy. Watch over in Greece on the western leg of the old Roman Empire for Alexis Tsipras. He's already talking a deal with Angela Merkel there in Germany about financing the Greek debt and allowing the trade out of trouble. And if he pulls that off, people are going to say he's a financial wizard. So you've got him who will then sing the praises of the first beast, who will be a Solomon-type individual, on the eastern leg of the old Roman Empire. That's in Daniel, if you look at the interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the two legs of iron in that statue in the bottom of it, or 10 toes, you know, of clay and iron mixed. And these are the nations of the west and eastern legs of the old Roman Empire being revived into the new 10-nation consortium that's spoken of. It's just so plain. You can see it right there in the news every day.
Yeah, you know, and the other question with that is that, well, we do a Greek update, by the way. I do it pretty much nightly about the Greek update.
All right.
You know, they really are unsustainable. In fact, you know, yesterday Athens had to raid their health budget just to try to cover some of their pensions, which are going to be due here close. And I just really don't know. The thing is this, which we all kind of know from a standpoint. You let Greece go, the rest of the pigs are going to want a piece of the pie, saying, you forgive Greece, well, you're forgiving us. So you can't do that. Or you let them go to the side, and then Italy's next, Portugal, Spain, so on. That's why I'm saying this. And it's sneaking up quick because you're hearing the talking heads, even on the mainstream news, CNBC, they're putting a lot of people out there talking about a financial bubble.
Yep.
You know, so it's really kind of interesting with all these, as we said earlier, there really is a lot going on in this year, 2015.
Did you know that Alexis Tsipras got 38% of the vote of the Euro of the European nations? He got 38% of the vote to put him in as president of the
EU.
European
really?
Union. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow, I did not see that.
He's very popular among all the other countries. So. He's coming up with a plan, and when he does, I think we're going to see the formation of the second beast.
Oh, wow. That would be interesting. Okay.
Well, you look him up and see what the European Union did. I mean, it was in his bio, I think, on Wikipedia. Just look it up and see about this guy.
I thought they were talking about, you know, their financial minister was walking around with no tie and stuff like that. So I wasn't really sure between the different guys. I know that he made kind of a funny thing. I know that CNBC was kind of laughing at I can't remember his financial prime minister's name, but I still think that's going to be pretty much of a come to a head thing. With Greece, I just don't think, you know, between now and April, because they're already asking for more of a bailout.
Yeah.
So I think things are going to really tighten up here in the next couple of weeks. One other thing I just want to add quickly before we – Jay, are we out of time yet, or where are we at?
You're good.
We good? When we're talking about Israel, here's what me and Jay were just asking. We're talking about all the old caliphate. Why is it that every time ISIS has a new name – can you explain that? Why first it's ISIS, then it's ISIL. Now it's the Islamic State. Why do they keep changing the name of this terrorist group? Do you have a clue?
No, I am aware of it, obviously, but I don't know if it's because of public images or financial reasons. I just don't know. But we do know that the caliphate will fail, and that the mm-hmm. Arab consortium, you know, like a United Nations of five Arab states, is forming under Iran's guidance. I mean, they're pushing in Yemen. They're pushing in Syria and Iraq. This is essentially going to be a Muslim-dominated consortium, but it will not take over the sovereignty of the member nations. They'll be like a United Nations or a European Union, except it'll be an Arab Union.
Okay.
And that's different than a caliphate, which overrides all their local laws, customs, and everything, and puts a dictator in charge, a caliph. So that's why they're fighting ISIS or IS or whatever. And I just don't know why they have to change their name, but obviously it's happening.
Well, I know, because we kept thinking it too, because, you know, when the media was calling them ISIS, then our president was calling them ISIL, you know, on every news conference. And even people were asking them questions about why you call it ISIL in between or ISIS. And then now they just call it our IS or, you know, Islamic State. So now do you think that they play – we know it fails, but do you think they play any role down the road here at all, real quickly?
I think ISIS is a small people, and I think the Antichrist will come to power with the help of small people that obviously he's defeating, but using this small people of this terrorist group, I think that it'll give rise to a leader, a military leader, who will gain favor worldwide for having defeated them. And look, our government, you know, for the crazy devils, they're supporting Iran because Iran is, you know, responsible for Qasem Soleimani beating the ISIS things. And that just tells you right there, that's the way they're pushing us.
Got it. All right. Well, Jay, are we at that time?
We are, sir.
All righty. Well, T-San, thank you for being with us tonight. And again, I want to let our audience know we had a great guest with us. Again, Disclosure Media Network would like to thank our guest tonight, Stan Dale, for bringing us his insight into the world geopolitical culture, earth changes from volcanoes to earthquakes, and historical and biblical world events. Again, you can find out more about Stan at Stan Dale. That's StanDeyo.com. Thanks to our host with the most, Jay the Man, for bringing his A-game to the show tonight. And don't forget to go to DisclosureMedia.net and check out our breaking news, upcoming shows, see our schedule for the nightly news, and don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube.DisclosureMedia.net. To all of you, good night, thank you, and have a super spectacular evening. See ya.
Good night.
Good night, Stan.
Good night.